Hello, everyone. Make sure you guys can hear me. Do some coaching. I've been getting my learn on the last few days with the coaching. It's been amazing. I'm just going to tell you, there is nothing better than going and sitting in a room full of life coaches for a couple days, learning from life coaches, hearing how everybody's teaching, how everybody's working things. Just makes you super focused. All right, let's see. Today is the 15th. Okay, I think we're doing our new... Oh, wait, I see it. Okay, Amy, Kimberly, Sierra, Melissa, Lisa, if you are here, raise your hand. I have two Kims here. Kimberly Severson, I'm going to call on you. Well, let's see. Well, I'm looking for Amy Jenkins. Are you here yet? No. Okay. We're going to go with Kimberly first. If it'll let me. Well, Lord. There we go. Zoom is not cooperating. There we go. I have had more tech issues than this lady wants to deal with the last. Oh, Facebook keeps banning me, if y'all don't know, from my own account. It's been amazing. I've been wanting to, like, so I yelled at Chris, and then this morning as I'm crying on my morning walk because I'm just so done with Facebook, I was like, I should probably be yelling at Mark Zuckerberg, not Chris. That was my morning enlightenment.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. That would be nice to be the coach and to be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You're the coach.
We all still struggle. Oh, sorry.
That's right. Keep it real. All right. So how can I help you?
Well, I'm actually interested in getting coached on something that I know you've done a lot of work on. I'm working on my relationship with my mother.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty far along in not letting her behavior affect me. Mm-hmm. Before I found PNP, I would have told you all about how she's a, you know, textbook narcissist, how she is very self-centered. And that used to make me so angry, so sad. I mean, I would spend days stewing about it. And since doing all this thought work, I've come a long way in not letting her behavior affect me as much. It definitely doesn't. I can let a lot more things slide. And I thought that I was like almost at, you know, almost done with this work. And then we went on vacation together for a week. And I realized that I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, which is good. There's nothing like being immersed into a situation to be like, now we're going to test all my ninja skills.
It was a masterclass in that. And so I want to get to a place where I feel like I can let go of the thought that I didn't get the mom that I wanted, or I don't have the same kind of mom that other moms have.
Okay.
And, you know, so right now I'm
what kind of mom do you want?
Like a loving, nurturing, supportive mom.
So she doesn't do that. She's never loving, never supportive, never nurturing.
She does it in her own way.
Okay. So you have that already. You just choose not to appreciate it.
It's not in the way that I would choose. Yeah.
Right. You're choosing not to appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if she's, there are certain things in her mind that she's doing that are loving.
Right. And you're choosing not to appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to keep driving that home.
I know.
Because that's
write it down.
That's your action line. I want you to think about this. Your action line right now is I choose not to appreciate who she is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. There's also just...
Let me just throw something out there. I'm just going to just see what you think about this. So you choose not to appreciate who she is. And when she's doing what you construe as not being the mother you should have had and all this other stuff, do you think she's doing that because you're being the daughter she wishes you would be?
I think that we both have some resentment.
Yeah, you both have the exact same problem. You want the other person to be who you think they should be, and then you two get mad at each other when both of you decide to be who you want to be.
Yeah.
somebody's going to have to quit doing that to feel better. And I'm going to guess, since you're in P&P, you're going to be more emotionally equipped to do so. And mama is going to be able to be miserable with her expectations, manuals, and desires.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how do I do that? How do I get, you know, because I know that it's possible to change, because I've changed so much about, you know, I'll be talking about something. I just got a new job. It's like my dream job. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 5 years.
So we've got a brand new job. We're super excited.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, like mama, this is going to be the moment you turn magically into who I think you should be. What happened?
Yeah, that doesn't happen. So I'll be telling her an exciting story about my new job, and she will just stop listening. Like, I'll see her get distracted, and she has literally walked away in the middle of a sentence before.
Okay.
So it's just.
Tell me why that's bad. If you're excited, why do you need her to be that what did you want her to do?
Fully listen.
Okay.
You know, allow me to finish the sentence.
You say I get a new job, and then you've got like a long story, I'm assuming, that comes after that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to just keep engagement. That would have made you been like, now I've got the mother I need.
She not entirely, but
the whole story.
Yeah. I mean, in that moment, I would have felt like she was,
I would have felt. You would have felt what?
Just supported and acknowledged.
Okay. Then you need to support yourself and acknowledge yourself in the relationship. Right now you're not doing that. You're saying that your mom is responsible for your feelings. Your mother's not responsible for your feelings. You're not supporting yourself. You're not acknowledging that you're responsible for your feelings when you think she should have paid more attention. Mm-hmm. She should have done these things in order for me to feel supported. Right? Mm-hmm. I got a brand new job. I'm freaking excited about it. My mom has lost interest. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and I understand that intellectually. I just feel like if I was talking to any person about anything and they just walked away in the middle of a sentence, I feel like I would at least think that that person was rude or disengaged.
That's fine. You know? They're not your mother.
Yeah.
You wouldn't keep getting coached on your mother if you didn't want to have a different relationship than you would with someone at the grocery store that you were telling about your job.
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, let's just pretend that you meet a random person from the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You come to October camp and you're like, oh my God, girl, you're not going to believe it. I got this brand new job. And she's like, oh, that's great. And then she sees someone that she's more interested in talking to and she walks over there. You probably are going to need coaching from me.
Right.
On her, you're going to be like, rude, and move on. But with your mom, you probably don't want to think rude. Or if you do, I just want you to at least say, like, I don't think she should be different. She's just rude, and I don't like that part of her. And I'm done.
Right. Okay.
I'm not going to – the pain is in you wanting, like, you coming back.
Sorry, there's a very low-flying plane.
We have talked about your mom before, right?
Can you just say that one more time? I'm sorry.
We've talked about your mother before, right?
We haven't, no. We've talked about my toddler.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have manuals for everyone.
I'm getting better with him. But it's easier for me to justify it with him because he's a little baby, you know? I'm teaching him how to be a
person. So why is it – but here's the thing. Why is it not easier to do it with your mom too? How old is your mother?
66.
So you want your mom to become someone completely different – after 66 years of patterning into how she thinks and feels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be her parent? Do you want to treat her like a toddler?
But that's, I feel like, well, I know I'm saying I feel. I do feel like I have to do a lot of the like emotional heavy lifting. And
yeah, because you want to feel better. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, Kimberly, anybody that wants to feel better in their life has to be willing to do their own emotional heavy lifting. Can't put it in your mom's hands. If you want to feel better, it's not your mom's job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, you just said it right there. Your biggest problem is you think somebody should make your emotional life easier.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to being a human.
Right.
You're struggling.
So funny because I really thought I had gotten so much better, you know, just because I hadn't, because I don't let it ruin an entire day for me anymore. I thought, like, well, this is progress.
Here's the thing. I do want you to see that you've made progress. Mm-hmm. The reason why I know you've made progress is because as you're talking about it, you're intellectually understanding what's happening now. Whereas before, it's like, oh, no, you need to know. My mother's a narcissist. She is. You had her labeled as this.
Right.
Now, right now, you're caught in between of your old belief of who you think she is, your idea of who you think she should be, mm-hmm. and the painful awareness that she is just your mother, mm-hmm. and that if you want to feel loved and if you want to feel supported and you want to feel acknowledged, if you want to feel slighted or rude, it's because it's your fault, not hers. Mm-hmm. It's all on how you're thinking about her. And you just have to decide. During these situations, when she's just being her, do you want to love her for who she is and decide to be excited for yourself? Or do you want to personally be upset and go through pain by how she's behaving? Mm-hmm. But it will always be your choice. It will not be because right. of who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that makes a lot of sense. I'm just curious how you get from I guess it's the unintentional model to the intentional. Is it just continuing?
Forget your intentional model.
Okay.
Just throw it away.
Okay.
Like, just don't even care about where you're going. Mm-hmm. Be in the space of where you're thinking now and get so aware of when you're like, oh shit, here I am mad at my mother again. Mm-hmm. Because I keep thinking these things. She did this. I keep thinking she should be different. Is it worth being in pain right now? Mm-hmm. The answer is no. I'm going to tell you guys, I would bet you 90% of the time I don't use an intentional model at all.
Interesting.
I take ownership for the model I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. And that is enough to be like, when I'm done feeling bad, I'll feel better.
Okay.
Because what we're doing is we're sitting around feeling bad, wanting to get away from it. Mm-hmm. Like, I need this intentional model that's going to work, Corinne. What's the new one? How do I get over here?
So when you were doing this work with your own mother, because you've done similar work. I mean, it was really just, it started with acceptance of the negative feelings. I'm not sure I'm understanding.
Like, I'm pissed right now. I'm pissed my mom said this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but I just tell myself, like this, I'll give you a good example. This is not on my mother, but it's a very good example. A friend of ours died yesterday suddenly.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Chris's age. Oh. We found out about it this morning, right before I'm supposed to go for my run.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And Facebook has kicked me out. Mm-hmm. Can't, you know, got all my newbie. Like, just the way of the world is like sitting like right there. And so mm-hmm. I'm out on my run. I start bawling.
Yeah.
I have tears now. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is how you feel. So like when you're mad at someone, when you're upset at the world, when you're scared, I literally said out loud, I'm fucking crying. It's okay to be scared and it's okay to be mad. You know what I didn't do? Need to eat or drink. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do. You're going to have to, like, sometimes your mom is going to say things and you're going to go to immediately thinking she should be different and stuff. And you need mm-hmm. to be like, this is my mother. I may not like it, but this is my mother. And I'm learning to, like, just love this relationship. And sometimes loving this relationship means I have to be upset in the relationship too. Mm-hmm. And not blame and not think it should be different. Blaming, I want you to think about your model. Your action line is blaming, thinking it should be different, wishing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. visualizing how she should have been.
Right.
Comparing her to the mental imagery of like,
yeah,
why'd you go be excited? Oh, she wasn't excited. Like mm-hmm. that's the action line, and that's all driving from a thought. It's not supposed to be like this.
Right.
And you need to like drop into, it is supposed to be like this. And that means sometimes it's going to feel like shit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
How I did my work around my mother. I didn't like turn thoughts on like, you know, she's amazing. amazing and my past was exactly how it should be. That's all great, but that comes later. It starts with, and this is exactly as it should be. There's an acceptance there. And then your action line gets to get cleaned up. Like sometimes it's crying. Sometimes it's like rather than wishing it was different, noticing that you're wishing it was different. Rather than thinking you should have done this, noticing you have expectations for her. And your brain goes to work on like, oh, this is what I do myself. And you start taking the focus off of your mother and you start putting it on yourself.
Okay.
That's the hard part. It's so much easier to focus on what's wrong in the world. Because when you're focused on that, guess what you're not focused on? The emotional heavy lifting for you.
Right. Which is just part of the process.
Yeah. Because if it's feeling heavy, it's because you're making it heavy. And I think that's what we all confuse. It's like, if it feels heavy, it's because we're making it heavy. Like today, it felt very heavy. And I was like, yeah, it does. And I started thinking about all the things. Like I literally thought, you know, I should not be yelling at Chris when I have business problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You start taking ownership of yourself. That's the hardest work we do. It's not, you know, building a relationship with someone. The hardest work we ever do is building an integritable relationship with ourselves. And I don't know if that was a real word, but it sounds amazing.
I like it. I'll take it.
Integritable is a new one for all of us.
Interesting. Okay. I feel like I have to listen to this call 700 more times because it's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information. It's fire hose. I just want you to like stay really simple with this though. This is how it is supposed to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I think I was thinking that there was a thought that I could find that would make me just accept her as she is, not realizing that it's I have to think those thoughts about myself and my, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, but
you have to accept how you're thinking about it as it is now before you'll ever be able to start thinking about her differently.
Yeah, I think I was skipping that step and jumping ahead to try to think of her differently here.
We want to go to that intentional model. And the main reason why we give you the intentional model is for you to be able to have a perspective shift. Like this kind of thinking is possible also. It is not that this kind of thinking is going to be turned on overnight. It's not like, oh, now I have a new thought. Why is this not the one that keeps coming back? You know, it's not. It's not the one programmed in you. That's the one you have to program into yourself with a lot of work, with a lot of emotional heavy lifting.
Right.
Awareness of where you're at now, understanding like these are the thoughts that I'm running and not getting mad at them. But not when we get mad at them, we're judging.
Yeah. That's a big piece too that I've been doing, you know, thinking that feeling bad means that I still have a problem, you know.
No. Like feeling bad means you're doing it right.
Okay.
You're supposed to feel bad. But our thing is we want to get to where we look at feeling bad rather than thinking feeling bad must mean there's a problem. Feeling bad means there's a sentence running around in there that's worth looking at. That's all it means.
Okay. That's really interesting. Because that's what I was taking still feeling bad sometimes about her behavior as evidence of the fact that I'm not where I need to be. But.
No, and I'm just going to tell you, I mean, as much as I love my mother now and all the kinds of things, there's still times we talk and I'm just like, she'll say just something random or whatever. And I'm just like, on the inside, I'm like, you
know, so that's never going to go away.
My mother this or whatever. And that's like, I like to think about my negative emotions. They're not like, there's a difference between negative emotion and bad emotions. Like I think we have these categorized, like these are the bad ones. It's like, there's just emotions. Some of them feel negative in us and some of them feel positive. And I like to think of especially when my negative emotions are popping up, they are like a flare gun going off in me. Like, hey, something needs to be looked at. Something needs to be looked at. Like something's going wrong.
Right. And that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So that makes a ton of sense. That's really helpful.
Good.
I have to go see her this afternoon. So I will try to absorb all of this really quickly.
Just go, like, I'm just
going to observe it while I'm there.
Braced or ready for things or expecting anything. Won't you just go in like really interested and how she's going to show up and how you're going to show up, and just kind of watch it from an upper level.
Okay.
Like, not have, like it has to be a certain way for either of you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's kind of part of your underlying stuff, is you've kind of said, I should be further along. She should be doing that. You got a lot of should stuff.
I do. Yeah. And I have a lot less than I used to.
Yeah.
Well, this is the new and improved version.
I think you need to, like, just keep looking at that. That's probably going to be a pattern for you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, this, what bullshit I had 20 years ago is the same bullshit that comes up for me whenever, you know, life's throwing curveballs or whatever's happening. It's like, it's my same shit always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never, I don't think you ever rest it. You just get better at noticing it and seeing it and not letting it spiral out of control and stuff. Like, I can always tell, like, if we have a couple of weeks where I'm breaking my plans and wanting to go drink, I'm like, I probably ought to be looking at my mind management. Maybe I'm kind of taking it easy on my thought work, because otherwise I wouldn't want to be checking out more. You know what I mean? I don't make it mean like, oh my God, friend's a failure. I should be further along. Why is this that? Like, I just don't go through the drama. I just don't use it as a, it's just a very like, it's an ease to being able to see your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that it's an, like, it feels for me much easier. I will say this, it's easier to see my problems. They still feel like hell on earth.
Okay.
But I am not feeling the hell of running from them, worrying about them, and judging myself over them. That part of hell has been like, just, it's just about gone.
Yeah.
So now I'm just left with shit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I was just sort of misunderstanding and thinking that I could get to a place where, like, I feel great about her behavior.
I mean, I think you can one day. I mean, but I think you'll still have moments. But I think overall, you can get there if you just decide to get there.
Right.
Kind of like, you gotta get there because you decide and you do it on purpose, not because you're like, well, this just feels so icky, I need to be over here.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I have a lot of work to do.
Me too. We all do.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing. I'm all right. Find the rest of the girls.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Amy, are you here? I seriously didn't bring my glasses in here. Can't fucking see. Sierra, you're going to go next. Oh, Amy's back. Hang on. Let me grab Amy. She was up first. Here's the order. I think someone was asking Amy, Kimberly, who we just did, Sierra, Melissa, and Lisa, if that helps you guys.
Okay.
Let me get, there we go. All right.
Okay.
My grown ass woman.
There I am. Hey.
Hello. So tell everybody why we're here today.
Okay. So I was at the 2-day at the end of May.
Yes.
And you asked me a question. You said, do you really want to lose weight? And I literally took like 3 minutes and just sat there in dead quiet and examined. And I said, yes, I want to lose weight. And then we proceeded to set a goal. And you said, well, how much weight do you want to lose? And let's put a timeline. And so I came up with 15 pounds in 90 days.
Okay.
Something that felt doable for me. I also was having trouble with wine and drinking wine. And we had, I got a lot of coaching around how I have Hashimoto's. And wine isn't good for me, and that I had been lying to myself, telling myself that I was getting relief from wine because I was doing okay all day. And then I was sliding into the evening hour and diving into the wine.
And sliding in with a bottle.
Yep. And so that's not what I wanted to do. That's not good for me. So I worked on that as well.
And why are we here today? To follow up on all this?
Yes. So we decided
our 90-day appointment.
This is our 90-day appointment to see how I did.
Well, how did it go?
So it's been very interesting. And I have to say, overall, it went good. I've lost 13 and a half pounds.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But like, what's even greater is all the data I have now from doing all the things, like not just 24-hour plans and assessments, but 30-day goals, monthly assessments,
yeah.
recovery worksheets. It's freaking amazing. And it's, and my numbers are okay, like for planning and assessing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much 100%, but following, believe it or not, that's pretty low number.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I still lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got to the hard parts, I had a thought process. And I just, like, I remember one Friday afternoon, because Friday evenings are for sure the biggest challenge. I literally had like a 4-hour conversation with myself about, am I going to pour that glass of wine? And I just sat there and reminded myself of my goals,
mm-hmm.
and how I deserved better than that.
Yeah.
Why don't I think about what exactly am I needing like relief from? So I don't know.
This is really good evidence of, I've been really playing with this in my brain, because I've had a couple of personal like shifts in how I think recently. And I'm like, well, why am I now suddenly thinking this way? Like it literally felt like it just happened, right? A lot of times I think we think it just happens.
Yes.
It is that slow evolution of tracking and noticing and writing about things and doing it when you're just like, this sucks. Like I'm just writing the same shit all the time. Blah, blah, blah. The whole time you're doing it, the whole time you're thinking like, all right, like even if you're not successful, every single time you plan for success, and you assess and you look at things and you have conversations in your head, your brain is changing every single time in little ways. And you all never know when it's going to be the moment where the first, like, there'll be a Friday that comes up where you will want the wine so much. And then your brain is like, hey, yeah, but you know, we keep thinking we don't want to be a drinker. And hey, yeah, we keep thinking about our goals and stuff. And it's all of a sudden you're just like, where's this other voice coming from?
Yes.
Because it used to never have a voice. Like it was just like, I got to make myself think about my goals. I got to do all this. It was very conscious. And then all of a sudden it's like, it just starts sneaking in. It's like the whispers of the future you start coming. Like I'm out here. You've thought about me on purpose so much. I now think you actually want to hear from me. Knock, knock. Here I am. I think that's such a key thing. So Amy, this is what I'm going to ask you. And like, are you going to keep going for one? You're going to keep doing this process?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay. 100%.
I am going to tell you, like, you, like, if you, like, the way you just described what's happening, like, you know, I had this 4-hour conversation and all this other stuff. You know how, like, our last caller said the emotional heavy lifting?
Yes.
This is the emotional heavy lifting.
Yes.
It's not the necessarily not drinking. It is the being willing to think about all of it, even when you don't want to, even when you're not seeing, like, it's hard to see that progress on day 13.
Yes.
About what's going to happen on day 90.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're, like, right there for some, like, some of this that you're doing is now yeah. going to the unconscious. And when it, like, when it starts slipping into the unconscious, that means the next time you have an urge, unconsciously, that voice for the higher self outweighs the conscious voice who wants wine. It'll be like, you'll say, yeah, we're not going to really have wine. It's, you know, wah, wah, wah. And then you'll be like, are we sure we don't want to have wine? Like, you'll have yep. to think about it.
Yep.
Whereas before, we never thought about it. We're just like, nope. Wine, where's my bottle?
And that goes to, so I was at the 2-day in January as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first time I'd ever been to any kind of camp or anything other than like seeing you in Dallas,
yeah,
like the summer before. This is the first event I'd been to, and I jumped out there and did the 2-day. And the thing where I was in January is so interesting to look back to was I wouldn't do a 24-hour plan.
Right.
And you told me one thing that you coached me on is you told me you're a lawyer. You need to argue for yourself. And I was like,
and you were the first one to get coached. That was the first thing we were out of my mouth while we were there.
Yeah. And I mean, you were like, what the hell? What are you griping about the 24-hour plan? I mean, and you did that thing, but then you were like, come on, give yourself a chance. Argue for yourself. I hear, like, that goes in my mind almost daily now because I really, that's a key thing, is I was just sliding straight over everything.
Yeah.
And into just, you know, face first into whatever, wine or food or whatever, you know, it is to the, you know, and what you were talking about, the brain. Mm-hmm. I just had this conversation with my husband last night. I said, it's like there's two sides now.
Yeah.
It's that brain that's like, hey, why don't we go do this? And there's that brain, there's the other voice.
Mm-hmm.
There is another voice now. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to listen to that voice where, you know, that voice cares about you. That voice, you know.
And I will tell all of you, the only way that that voice gets its say and gets put into the back of the programming of your brain is by doing worksheets.
Yes.
Doing plans. But like, you got to do the recovery worksheets. You have to do those 24-hour plans and assessments and stuff, because we're not just going to, if your mind automatically wants to get you to eat when you feel bad and stuff, you owe it to yourself to do all this work, because the only way to automatically want to take care of yourself is to teach yourself how to take care of yourself. You've been teaching yourself how to like numb, and you've been teaching yourself how to escape. We've not been taking care of ourselves. And I just know you're like on the brink. And guess what? You're already disproving your whole story around Hashimoto's.
Yeah, I am. I am. I totally agree. And I just, if I could share one thing with everyone. Okay, so I also started, you know, like I do Hello worksheets, Hello Scale worksheets. And there was a really good one. I was looking over my stuff last night, and I think it's a good thing. Like, I filled it out, and like my judgment is, it used to be here, and like it is so like it's almost non-existent now. And I just write it down. If I put it in my mouth, I write it down. If I did it, I write it down. But like I did a Hello Scale worksheet where I lost 0.2 pounds 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't like my journey didn't go like this. Psh, on the scale, it went like that, you know.
It's roller coaster. But
it is. But I never gave up. But I in that list five actions that led to the result on the scale, I put I ate off plan, I drank alcohol off plan, I didn't get enough sleep, I didn't drink enough water, but I didn't give up.
Exactly.
And so when I looked at that, I was like, man, yeah, it's turning. So it has been key. It's what you said, like doing the worksheets, doing the writing, doing the TDLs, saying the things to myself. I feel the shift. And
let me ask you this. When you were doing that stuff, did you feel like doing it all the time? Were you just like, I'm so motivated, I went to the 2-day, like,
no.
Sprinkle dust on me and all of a sudden like easy.
No. Right. No ma'am. No ma'am. I was like cuss words, you know. I was like, you know, fuck this, man. I don't want to write this. I don't wanna, and I'm like, but I said I would. And then like I told a funny story to my Marco Polo group about the scale because it'd been an interesting week. And I was like, all right, it was like at the OK Corral. You know, I had my hat on and I'm like, I'm going into way. But I promised myself, you know, I'm like, I'm going in. And I'm like, because I'm weighing myself no matter what, because that's a number and that'll give me data.
Yes.
But no, it was more of that. Like, this is the process. This is what we're doing. We're doing the baby steps. And Corinne says it's going to work. I use that one a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what Corinne told me to do. And I think that's like a baby step to get to the point where I start to tell me that, you know? Yes.
And I think, I think you're real. This is, I don't know who my coach on record is for this call, but somebody, we got to edit this one out because it's so good. You're a really good example of someone who is like, I decided I was going to do it. Like the progress, it's really just now starting to click in 90 days later.
Yes.
Still experiencing some success, but I'm noticing all the areas that I'm experiencing success. I'm not just locked in on just the scale. I'm looking at my thoughts, I think, are changing. These things are starting to get easier. This, guys, this is just how it works. I am not selling you guys on fast weight loss. I am selling you on permanent shifting in your mind and your body. The only way we permanently shift all of it is by changing how we think, changing how we do, and how we believe. You do that, you know, life just gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, can you even imagine the next 90 days, how much easier the next 90 can be when you already have the whispers of the new voice coming in?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. And that almost weird coming out of my mouth. Yeah. But I'm like, this is the stuff Corinne was talking about when she was losing her 100 pounds. Like, she figured out how to make it work. She got excited about it. Like, that's what I'm doing. And I call it experimenting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's no bad decision, Amy. You're just going to do this. You know, you're going to follow your plan and you're going to think about these things, but you're going to try things and do things. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. If it does work, great. More information, more, hey, when this happens in the future, I'll think this, I'll do this.
This is so important. You've locked into the idea of you're just doing this. There's no more like, well,
nope,
happens and, you know, like the rest. You're really showing what future focus looks like here. When I talk about the difference between a past focus and a future focused person is thinking about where they're going and what they're doing today to get there. And that does not mean that the shit that they do each day that they love. It just means that they're thinking about the things they're doing. The key is their thinking. A future focused person does a lot of thinking, a lot of overriding, old thinking, noticing thinking. That's just the way it happens. A past focused person doesn't do a lot of thinking. They think about their past one time and they're like, well, that's why I'm a failure. And, or they just, you know, they quit, they stall, they wait for inspiration, all that kind of bullshit. No, you didn't wait for inspiration. You were just like, Corinne told me this would work. So I guess I'm going to have to go in there and do some stuff.
Yeah.
That's not exactly inspiring. It's just, it just makes you do it, you know?
Yes. And I came up with an analogy last night because I'm also working on building a business. So, which has brought me straight up to the edge of my comfort zone, my fear zone. And, you know, I've been talking to my group about it. They, you know, they hear about it, my grown-ass women group. But it's like this. It's like nighttime, I'm walking on a path, I have a flashlight. If I just concentrate on about as far as that flashlight can show me, it's magic. That's the magic. If I try and look way far down there to where I'm going and how far I have to go, and I lose it, man. My brain goes into that shitty that place. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? Why would you think you can do this? You like, and I'm like, shut it down. Nope. Okay. I hear you. Thank you. I know you think you're going to die, but I promise you're not going to die. All right. Let's just look where the, like I talk to myself like that now. And I just want, like, I know that all the new people just joined and I see on the Facebook, they're struggling with the 24-hour plans. And I'm like, literally, oh my gosh, it's life change. It's so freeing. And just keep doing like the four basics. If all you do is the four basics, you're gonna, I mean,
it's amazing. It's like we fight something so simple. And it's literally only because you're afraid. It's kind of like you're just afraid. I can always tell when someone's got a lot of resistance to doing the four basics, it's that underlying fear. Underneath, I'm so afraid it's not going to work. It's like, you're afraid anyway. You might as well just do something and see if it works.
That's me. That's me. Like, I was so afraid to, and so anyway, I am. Yeah, no, thank you. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, Corinne, like, it's been just like, it's life changing. It's changing my life as we speak. And it doesn't mean I don't have hard days and I don't cry and get in like the river of misery. That I'm not like sitting here trying to blow sunshine at people's ass at all. But it's just, don't quit. Do what Corinne says, like follow her lead and just don't quit. And like, it'll come. It'll come.
Well, tell Miss Lisa and Jen hello.
Uh-huh. I will.
They may be on the call, but I don't know.
They were going to try and be on the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, lady.
Bye.
Seriously, we need to edit that call out. Betsy, that was really good. That's really, really good. Shows the kind of the progress, the how the things happen. All right. Let's go, Sierra. The beautiful Sierra, everybody, please be prepared. She's gorgeous. prepare your eyes. Hello, lady. How are you? I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. Well, I'm okay. I'm a little anxious.
Why?
Results come out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
What comes out tomorrow?
Bar results.
Oh, shit.
So tomorrow I could either be an actual attorney or have to take the bar again. So we'll see.
Well, I'm just going to think you're going to be an actual attorney.
I hope so, because I couldn't do that whole process again. It was tiring. But yes, I hope so too. I hope so. I studied for it, so.
Well, I know you. I'm sure you gave 1,001%.
Maybe like 950%.
What are you crashing on?
Okay, so I have been working on self-worth.
Oh, good. The
past 2 or so weeks. Yeah. And I guess, like, I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Why do you think you're doing it wrong is the question.
I don't know how I'm supposed to be feeling. I don't know if I'm supposed to be going up and down every single day. It's just, I'll wake up fine, then I won't be fine, then I'll be fine again. And it's just.
So you find that confusing that sometimes you're feeling amazing and sometimes you're not feeling amazing.
But like really, really bad. I think I had 2 days last week. But just like more emotional than I've ever been, if that makes sense.
Because you're trying to rebuild the relationship with yourself. What do you think the fuck's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Let's take a guess as to what happens when you've talked to yourself one way all your life, and you're suddenly going to be like, you know what? It's not good enough anymore. We're going to start loving ourselves. We're going to be telling ourselves a bunch of shit we don't believe. We're going to like go back to that first call. We're going to do some heavy emotional lifting. What do you think it should, like, if you weren't doubting right now and you could take a guess, what do you think it should be like?
Probably ass.
And you kind of described yourself feeling like ass the last few days. It sounds like you're doing it right. Tell me what you think you might be doing wrong, or what do you think the real problem is?
I guess just trying to figure it out and not knowing where I'll end up or where the train is going or...
Well, let's, where do you want the train to be? I mean, you just have to decide where the destination is. Like, that's the amazing thing about doing any of this stuff. You get to decide where you end up. And then you just have to keep showing up until you get there.
Yeah, and I guess, like, a part of me is, like, I know where I want to go, but a part of me is, like, I've never been that person.
Yeah.
So, like, who do I think I am trying to be that person?
Answer the question.
And I think that's part of, like, why I need to do the self-worth work is because I don't know. I guess it's like the last question. It's like a battle in my head of, like, the old thoughts and how I used to, like, think all of the time. And then, like, my kind of, like, new brain that's, like, well, why not do it? Like, right. Why not create the person that you want to be?
Right.
But I still think the old thoughts are louder.
They are. Of course they are. You just haven't practiced the new ones long enough. You just need more time. That's it. Your train is headed to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So I guess, like, I don't know. It's uncharted territory. So I'm just like, well, when does, like, do I drop the old story I'm telling myself?
Probably never.
But I think about that, and that seems too painful. Like, I don't want to think that.
Let me ask you this. If that story wasn't painful, would you care it was there?
No.
Yeah, that's the real magic. We're going to get to a point to where the story comes back and it's no longer painful. It's just the story. It's just the stuff you think. You're in the middle right now of, you have to introduce all the new stuff to give the perspective. While the old stuff is sitting there and coming back and coming back, and sometimes we buy into it because we've been buying into it for a long time. That's okay. Just the moment you notice yourself buying into it, you just be like, oh yeah, I'm over here now. And you just redirect. You have to, like, take the expectation and judgment off the process, and the process becomes easier. So, like, your old story, it's abuse, right? Childhood abuse?
It's more than that.
Well, let's just, like, let's give it a generalized term so we don't have to give everybody it, because it's really not much more than that, right?
I mean,
if you were going to tell 400 people right now the most boring version of it, what would it be?
The most boring version of it?
Yeah, because that's what we need to get you to believe, that it's all boring now. Because our future life is the exciting part. Right now, you've got the future is scary. The old story is not scary. The old story is exciting. Because it's big. It's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the really deep stuff, Corinne.
Okay.
That's what you told me earlier. Like, you're still describing all of it like it's real now. Rather than, oh, that's real. My past. Huh?
It feels real.
Yeah, it feels real, but just because it feels real doesn't mean you need to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I feel real shitty, I'm just like, oh, maybe I don't want to feel real shitty right now. I mean.
So I guess, like, the story that I've been thinking about this past week, which is, like, sending me through emotions, is that I had a good childhood and a good, like, life on paper.
Yeah.
But that's not actually what I lived through. So even though, like, I went to private school, I got to travel the world and had opportunities and, you know, graduated high school, college, and from law school, what was going on behind closed doors wasn't something that anyone would choose to live through, but they may have chosen to live through all the good parts that they saw. And so,
just listen to how you're even telling it. You're telling it still like it's exciting. I've got this amazing, interesting story about my past. I mean, to tell you, I had all these, like, great opportunities, but behind the closed doors. You describe like a movie. Like you're like, and I want you to think about this. You're describing it as if you want someone to pay $1,000 to come see it.
That'd be amazing.
You're doing to yourself. And like, if you keep describing it so alluring to yourself, like, oh, this is all these things. And it's so like, I could write a novel about it. Guess who buys the $1,000 ticket every day?
Me.
Yeah. And I would say it's $1,000 because it's an expensive ass show you're going to, because it's, you're like, let me ask you this. Do you tell the way you want to talk about yourself and your future? Do you give it $1,000 story every day? Or is it kind of like, well, you know, if it wasn't for all this bullshit, I'd be thinking these things.
I'd say that it's about $600. I've been thinking
a lot about the future. Tell me about your future.
I think my future is going to be amazing. Okay. I think that I'm going to be working a lot, but I'll love what I'm doing.
You what now?
I'll be working a lot.
Okay, that you just devalued the future. Go ahead, keep going. I don't want to come to that show. I'm going to work a lot.
Yeah. And I want to travel different places and experience different cities and do different activities like hiking different trails or something, spending time with my wife, eventually having kids, just having fun with friends and loving myself and doing the things that I really want to do.
Okay. So when you watch the video, mm-hmm. I want you to watch the stark difference in the way you tell the two stories. You told me all the things you'll do, but they weren't like, we're going to go on exotic trips that I've dreamed about my entire life that other people would be jealous of. But no, you told us that about you. It's like, I had this amazing, like, I lived in different cities and had educations people would die for, but I had this dark, deep past. You describe your past like a fucking novel we all have to open up and read. You describe your future like, here's the things we're going to do, and everything's like, oh, that looks fun. But it'd be like, that's great, and now I want to tell you my story. Your past story, we're just like, what the fuck happened to you? Like, this is terrible. And that is what you've got to switch. Your past has to be boring. It's like, went to private school. Like, I don't care if you like play up the outside version. I think that's the amazing part. Like, oh my God, you know why I'm so great today? Amazing education, toured the world stuff. Did you know that's why I want to go on exotic trips? Because when I was a kid, I got to do all those things.
I think that's the problem.
What's the problem? We all need to know that you were abused in order to appreciate you.
I'm sorry.
Don't cry. This is what it's supposed to be. I'm not the one that's supposed to cry. Y'all are. That's the rules.
It's like my whole life, everyone saw all the outside.
Yeah, they did. I want you to see the outside, though. I want you to stop allowing what was going on the inside to affect everything from this point on. Who cares if that's all they saw? Who cares if that's all they see today?
Because I feel like everyone saw all the great things, but they never stopped to care about how the negative things were to me. No one ever took me to therapy or
talked
to me about my emotions, or I just...
Stop. Why does that even matter now? How old are you?
Oh, God, 28.
28. Probably going to be a lawyer as of tomorrow. Obviously smart enough to not need all of that. You have got to quit thinking that it should have been different. You know why? It makes you cry today to think it should have been different. I just want you to get to where you neutralize the story. That happened. And if somebody wants, if there's going to be therapy, if there's going to be paying attention, if there's going to be noticing or anything, that all starts right now with me. I didn't need any of them to do that. Doesn't matter anymore.
I've been doing that work in my entire adult life. I started going to therapy in undergrad.
Yeah.
And but it's just like, why am I the only one that has cared? Like, I just...
It doesn't matter. What if everybody had a cared? What if the whole time people had just cared? You'd probably feel like shit now over something else. It would have been, it shouldn't have happened. It's irrelevant, is the point. No one should care about us. That is a thought that's posing all of us. When we think people should care about us, we take the eye off of caring for ourselves. We immediately drop into someone else is now responsible for how I'm feeling, rather than I care about myself. I never expect anyone to care. That doesn't mean there won't be caring people. It just means I no longer wait for someone to care about me in order to care about myself. The waiting game is over.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm struggling with. I'm just...
Do what?
That's what I'm... I don't want to constantly think that, but that's just where my brain goes. And
well, this is... Now, this is important. You need to constantly think that and learn how to not care about it. That's the difference. Those thoughts are not going to stop. But what we can stop is you believing them. We can stop you judging them and thinking they should go away in order to feel better. We can stop them coming in and ruling the day. They're going to keep coming. You're doing the exact work. The reason why it feels confusing and stuff is because you think those thoughts need to stop. And if you believe they have to stop in order for this to work, every time they come in, it's like, oh my God, is this even working? Oh my God, something must be wrong. These thoughts are coming in. No, they're supposed to come. I still sometimes think my past should have been different. Every now and then, like, I'll catch myself thinking my parents should care. Like, my mother cares, but my dad, he should be proud of me. My dad should call me. My dad should have been a part of my life. Logan should have had this grandfather that's living and he doesn't. I just don't think it absolutely, like, I just think, yeah, that's just something I think. And then I move on and I'm just like, you know what? Here's what we do have. You're going to have to keep redirecting your brain until the day comes. You're just caught, like, this is when we talk about being in the middle of old you versus new you. It's when both are in the game. That's the hardest place to be. Because right now they're like, this guy is probably a little louder, but this guy's starting to whisper. And then what will happen is this guy will get a little quieter and this guy will get a little louder. And then eventually this is the first one we think about until something happens unexpected, and then these thoughts will come back in. And they may or may not ever stop, but the difference is that once these get more automatic, you don't care as much about these anymore. And I think that's the clear distinction I want you to take away from this call. Nothing's going wrong because you're having old thoughts. You're just learning right now how to not be emotional over them anymore. We're now, like, if you think about the model CTFAR, we're separating the thought and feeling line out now. We're putting space and distance between them so that you can have a circumstance, a thought comes in, and there's a gap between the feeling. Right now, the feeling's still probably coming fast, and you're catching it when you feel bad. And then sometimes it slips to the action line, and you catch yourself doing the actions of the feeling. You're just in this, you're in the part of the model where we're kind of like stretching it out like a Gumby so that you have space in between. So like you notice if you start binging because you've been feeling sad about your past, then you stop in the middle of the binge. It's never too late. Sometimes you'll start feeling sad and you'll want to eat. And you'll notice like, I'm probably thinking something. What am I thinking? Oh, I'm doodling in my past again. I don't want to binge. It's not worth binging over anymore. It's boring now. We're practicing it being boring. And then you'll eventually get to where you'll have thoughts and you won't feel bad. You'll see the thought first and then you'll decide how you're going to feel. That's how it works. It's a process. It's not overnight, babe. Doing it right. If you're crying, you're obviously doing it right.
Oh my God. If you stop crying, that'd be great. But I think because I've never really talked about my past and never really made it neutral, that I just have like this laundry list of things that like happened to me and it's just there all the time. Yeah. All up here. And
have you ever wrote the past, just the facts, and made sure that it was a lot of neutral things? Like it's just like, you know.
I've written out, not in PNP, but when I was in therapy years ago, I just wrote out all the things that have negatively impacted me throughout my childhood and just had the list there. And I think it's still on YouTube. Oh God. But I was doing YouTube back then and I had my.
But there's something very curious you just said about this that has negatively impacted me. I don't want you to have that list. I want you to have the list of the literal circumstances because the circumstance can't negatively impact you. Not today. That's magic of like really writing it out. And then saying there was no positive or negative. They're just facts of my life. Now I got to decide going forward in the next moment, is this going to impact me negatively or positively? And I will decide that. That's the work I want you doing. Not my list of shit that happened that negatively impacted my life. That's a loaded diaper thought right there all on its own. Because that's how you're thinking. Like, this is why it feels weird. If that's the thought, it's not real. You've put it basically in your circumstance line.
Yeah.
But that's the thought about the things. The shit that's negatively impacted me. Like, what if it's just, these are the things that happened. Now what? That's Sierra's decision. That's not the thing's decision. Things can't make decisions.
I guess I just need more time.
Yeah, you need more time. And it's really hard to go from blaming our past to owning our future. Because that also means, I know you're a perfectionist. When you own the future, you have to own your own mistakes along with it. It's harder to own mistakes. It's easier to blame the past for why we are who we are. If I'm binging, oh, it's not me. It's because no one ever got me the help I needed when I was a teenager. That's why I'm binging. No, you're binging because a hamburger tastes good and you chose it. Over feeling like shit in the moment. That's Sierra. That's not what happened as a teenager. That's the hard part, but most of us won't sign up for that.
And like, I've kind of like realized that. So I was on the call on the 4th and like random thoughts just came up and I like wrote them down. And so where am I going with this? So I've done work on my past, like coming to realizations that the people that were around me, like my parents, grandparents, and other family members, they weren't in a position to do better. If they knew how to do better, they knew these things, they would have done better. And so listening to that call, I realized that I have been, it's been me, but in a way that I've internalized what they did wrong to mean that there's something wrong with me.
Right.
And then that's what comes up into my mind of why I don't choose better options for myself. Yeah. So I think the one thought that came up, the two thoughts that came up were, I don't deserve weight loss and I'm trash. And so I didn't really realize, oh, that's something going on in my subconscious. And then I wrote out a whole list, a whole page of the things that I think about myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I don't know, like, I guess I'm like in that middle part where it's like, intellectually or when I'm having good days, I know that's not true, but they're always in the background. And so eventually I get to a point where I start to feel sad and get depressed and anxious and start binging without realizing it's because I'm telling myself, because I don't have a job before my bar results, that I'm trash, or that because I have 6 weeks between the bar and results and that I'm, you know, just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm worthless because I'm sitting at home all day, and it's just always going on in the background of my mind.
When we have more time, guess what comes up?
Thoughts.
Our unmanaged thoughts. Yeah, more time equals more thoughts. That's why most people are busy all the time, eating, watching TV, and distracting.
And that's me. Like, the reason why I'm so academically and career-oriented and successful is because I throw myself into work so that I don't have to think about things.
Yeah.
And when I have breaks, it's just like my brain is just...
I want you to start going, though, into, rather than being worried about what your brain is throwing up, to being very curious about what your brain is throwing up. That's all you have to do. You got to be like, you know what? I got a lot going on in there, and that's all right. I got the 6 weeks to listen and listen good. You got to not judge it. You're going to want to judge it. If you will, I promise you, Sierra, if you will quit judging yourself for having all these thoughts and wanting them to go away, I want you to be like, the circumstances happened. The thoughts are the things that I think. The feelings come with those. And all of those, like the thoughts and feelings, I get to decide what they're going to be. I get to decide how long they stay. I get to decide how like long I want to keep them, when I want to change them. If I just want to sit and watch them to just see how I am with them, you get to do all of that. There is a more of a calm that comes with it when you go from not trying to just turn them off because they're bad, because they're not bad. It's just sentences. That's it. Even if you think something and feel something, it doesn't mean you have to binge. We only binge when we think that what we're thinking and feeling is bad, rather than like, yeah, I'm sitting here wishing that that hadn't happened in my past. Of course I would be sad. It's time to be sad. Rather than like, I wish all that hadn't happened and I wouldn't be so sad right now if it happened. I don't want to be sad, and we fight it and then we're like, let's just eat. Because the worst thing that's going to happen is this: you're either going to eat and your past is still going to be sitting there, or you're going to feel sad and then figure out how you want to start thinking about it, and your past is still just going to be sitting there. No matter what you do, your past is always just sitting there doing nothing. All right?
Okay.
You have plenty of work.
Yes.
Watch the call. Listen to how you describe your past. Stop describing it that way in your head. And you'll be able to start having more like authority over it when the thoughts come. Like, it's just these things.
Okay.
All right, Missy. Good luck. Hey, post in the group. Let us know what happens tomorrow.
Oh, I will.
Post. Now, do what? Like, what is the benefit of you dreading tomorrow or being anxious about it? The test is done. The results are coming.
Mm-hmm.
The next 24 hours can be ho-hum, or the next 24 hours can just be like, I'm just going to believe I'm a lawyer. I'm going to talk like I'm a lawyer. The worst that will happen is I won't be a lawyer and I'll be disappointed. Or I can just be disappointed between now and then.
I'm just nervous. I can.
That's normal.
I want to be excited, but I'm like, my brain's like, don't get excited. It's not here yet. You don't know.
I'd just be like, shut up. We're going to be excited. I would like to practice some excitement. This is a good opportunity to do so.
But I'll post. I probably won't open them to the afternoon. So I'll wait for Kiana to be on her lunch break and we'll open them together.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck, Mama. Bye. Okay. We have Melissa. Sorry, y'all. I'm running long today. I'm like extra wordy. Hello.
Hi.
What are we coaching on, lady?
Candy.
Candy. Oh, that's good.
Particularly urges.
Candy I like.
Particularly urges. You know, I was at the 8 August 3-day, and I was an April baby, so one of my biggest problems was just not writing the plan. So now I come to you with a shit ton of data, and we had set up a goal to get my morning plan, get the plan done in the morning. So for me, in the morning, this all falls into place, I promise. In the morning, I was out the door in 13 minutes, like dressed.
I remember this. I was asking you, can you be out the door in like 15 minutes or 17
right.
minutes?
Right. So it's been 20 years of doing it that way, you know, prior military, like get your boots on and go. And to add, it wasn't I really wanted more than just the 2 minutes. I wanted to be able to start to do the journaling. So for me, it was like set aside 15 minutes, which was doubling my morning time. And that was so anxious for me. So we did all the steps, what that meant. And I remember telling my accountability group, hey, this is my goal. And these are all the things I need to do to get my goal, which was a shit ton. It was like 25 steps, get to bed early, lay out my clothes, pack my lunch, you know, how I want to think about it. Long story short, I worked it in, and I've been doing 100% plans since August 12th and assessments. Okay. What I'm not doing wonderfully is the staying on plan. And when I looked at all my data, it was all to do with the bowls of candy around my office building. Like, not in my office. I bring in fruit for everyone. I just got a promotion, so I'm promoted to a director, and I feel a lot of responsibility to kind of stay later. You know, so my days are way longer. And my period of time of eating is after everyone's gone. And I know where all the candy is because throughout the office. And I will, on my plan, I'll put, okay, I'll have like, they're all mini candies, like Halloween size candy, you know. And I'll put 3 pieces and I'll take 3 pieces and then I'll go sit down. And I will really fight the urge and talk to myself. And what I found over specifically the last 3 weeks, it's very conscious because I am having the conversation and I'm literally choosing to go get 3 more pieces and I'll probably have like 9 mini pieces of candy. So that's probably
how many plans did you put 9 pieces on?
I really only realized that till last week. So like, I mean, not that I didn't realize it, but I was like, okay, I need to obviously put some more, but the problem is it's not every day. So, you know, there will be only a couple of days in the week. And somebody recommended to me the Brain Over Binge just to get the urges, you know, talk about urges. I don't think I'm a binge eater. I tend to overeat candy.
Even like binge books I find are super helpful for just overeaters because they'll talk on topics of just like managing urges and stuff. So let me ask you this. So have you planned 9 pieces of candy yet?
Yes. And I ate them. I did it 3 times.
Okay, so you planned 9 and then you ate them. And what was that experience? Like, what were you talking about during that time?
If there would have been 12 more in the bag, I probably would have eaten those, but there wasn't. So I planned them, I ate them, I assessed them. It was good to finally check off the block. Oh, I followed my plan that day.
Yeah. Let me guess, you're not going to lose weight though doing that, right?
No, I've stayed exactly the same to the ounce. I've stayed the same weight.
So now here's what you know. To support your candy habit, you have to give up your weight loss.
That's goal. I agree.
You have to just give up weight loss.
But I don't want to do that. And nope. I really want to figure out how I can do better to fight these urges.
Well, first of all, you got to quit fighting. This is not a battle. Mm-hmm. It's a decision.
Right.
Let me tell you, if you keep describing it like a battle, guess what has to happen?
Yeah, well, there's a winner and a loser.
Well, also, if you describe it as a battle, then every day there's your brain is going to be like, all right, now we got to start thinking hard. Now I need to, like, gin up some urges. It's supposed to be a fight. We got to, like, get our adrenaline going. Your brain is no dummy. The way you talk about things is the way your brain responds. It's like, hello, cortisol and adrenaline. It's everybody's left. It's time for our candy battle. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw some chemical urges up because, you know, she's going to fight urges.
Mm-hmm. So what do I do?
Huh? So what do you do? Mm-hmm. You say no. Stop planning candy.
So I tried to stop planning candy. I really tried to stop planning it. And it just, when I wanted it, I'm not telling myself no.
What are you telling yourself when you want it?
That I'm going to have to be here for another 3 hours and, you know, miss.
Oh, so you're not actually telling yourself about the future you want. You're telling yourself about the immediate future that sucks.
Right.
And you wonder why you still want candy.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't want to eat candy, this is for all of you. This is the best call ever. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you don't want to eat candy, then in the moment when you don't want to eat candy, guess what you can't fixate on? How terrible it will be without candy and how terrible the rest of the day is going to be. Because you know why we want candy? To deal with terrible.
Right.
So if you keep creating a big-ass terrible story, the desire for the candy rises.
Yeah.
You're rising it yourself.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah. Like, if you, like, let's say that I am going to, like, let's say today's a bad day. I'm just going to tell you, Melissa, just woke up to drama. Our friend died. All the things. We should probably go drink wine tonight. I'm going to have to fight the urge to not drink wine tonight. The only 5 o'clock comes, I'm going to have to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
When 5 o'clock comes, what do you think is going to happen in Corinne's mind?
Well, you're going to be prepared to... I'm sorry, I have a really old 18-year-old cat. You're going to be prepared to...
Oh, my God, that sounded like a baby. That's amazing. I said, did anybody else think that a baby was crying?
She's 19, so she has an old lady cry.
Oh my God, that's why my cat is. She has an old lady cry, but hers is more like, ah! It just sounds like a horn when she...
Yeah, so... Okay.
So what do you think is going to happen? If I all day long think about how bad my day is, and I'm all worried that I'm going to want wine tonight, should I put wine on my plan? I'm not going to put wine on my plan because I know I want to... Like, I'm trying to lose that half pound a week with everyone. Blah, blah, blah. Like, if I do all that...
Mm-hmm.
And I've made it a big fucking deal about 5 o'clock, the decision to have wine or not. What do you think happens at 5 o'clock?
You'll probably have wine.
Yeah, I'm going to want relief from my own fucking self. Right.
It's exhausting to have to think about it all day. Yeah.
And then when 5 o'clock comes, let's just say that I'm going to be like super determined. And I have not planned wine. And I am, you know, like sitting there, it's been a bad day. What do you think I'm going to, like, if I want to wake up the next day in integrity with myself, knowing I'm one step closer to my goals, what does 5 o'clock have to look like in Corinne's brain?
It's got to be not be horrible. It has to be something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I need to argue for myself. Not argue for my pain. Like, step one, guys, I don't care if you follow the plan or not. I think the key piece you're missing is you're forgetting to remind yourself why you're doing this. It's like, if you're going to eat candy, you need to pay the price first of explaining to yourself, this is what the candy is going to do to me and my goals, and this is what I really want in my life. We have to start giving that conversation oxygen in the room if it's ever going to catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
That piece has to start. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to remind yourself of all your amazing goals. Like, oh my God, Corinne, you know, like, you're just going to be the model of what's possible. Can you even imagine when you're like telling everyone, how much work you've done, and they're all going to like gifts, emojis, all the things. I'm going to do all that, and then what's going to happen? Yeah, but it's been a fucky second day. You should probably go drink wine. You know, wine tastes really good. You didn't even have date night this week. That's going to happen. Then what? Then what has to happen?
Well, you have to tell, remind yourself of the goals, your goals. And I've done that, though. I mean, literally, I've written down goals, put them on my desk. It's just, I think.
No, you haven't. You know how I know you're not doing it?
How?
When I asked you what happens, you'd said, I think about how much longer I have to stay at work.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing what I'm describing. You're doing a sticky note,
mm-hmm.
doing it in the morning, but you are not actively thinking on purpose and doing the heavy lifting in the middle of the urge.
Okay.
It's just starting to get intolerable and you're retreating and you're giving it a reason to retreat.
Okay. Okay. So when I get an urge, I need to think about my, well, first of all, I need to stop acting like I'm arguing with it. And I need to think about what my goals are. I just felt like when I am so conscious about giving up my future goals for what I want right now, I think that's the part I'm having the most trouble with.
Why? Why is it hard? Why, like, tell me that. That is what I'm interested in.
Because then it's like, I don't want to say the word helpless because I'm not helpless. But then, you know, I'm being conscious about it. I really truly have got to the point where, you know, there are days that I'm able to say, this is not on plan. This is not what I want for myself for today. I want tomorrow to be able to check that box and assess my plan and make my, you know, when I assess my plan that I followed it. But then there are other days where I say, I know this is not going to forward my goal. I know that it's not the integrity I set out for myself this morning. But I don't care.
I don't care moment. You've cleaned up this side. Why not just keep cleaning up? Why? Yeah. This is a problem. This is not a problem.
How do I do that?
Exactly what I just told you. When you think, I don't care, you need a response. You need to say, like, look, we're not getting candy until we admit we actually care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie to myself. I really care about my goals.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. Yep. All I care about right now, though, is like, I just want to make sure I know that I care about my goals. I want to do all this stuff. Candy makes me fat. I'm ready to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously.
Yep.
No. I don't care. I just don't care. Y'all have to quit saying that. You fucking care. You know why you care? You pay me money every month and you show up on coaching calls. That's how I know you care. That's how you should know you care.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've changed so much with PNP and it's amazing. I feel like I'm on the verge of getting it all together and I'm a little nervous about Halloween because all of this has to do, I know it's going to keep showing up. So I want to get a handle on this right now and just
this
make
is what I would say. Halloween's coming. I'm going to have 1,001 opportunities to practice this shit.
Okay.
Well, this is practice time. This is game time.
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting around going, I want you to think about what you just said. It's just like, oh, I got all these long hours. I got to fight these urges. Now I'm nervous Halloween's coming. Oh my God. You're mm-hmm. only nervous Halloween's coming because you keep thinking of all your failures.
Right.
You're not thinking about every solution possible to succeed. Like every solution possible. You should have 20 ways to try to not eat candy. How okay. many do you have?
I have like 2.
Yes, you need 20.
Uh-huh.
But you have 20 reasons why it's hard.
Yeah.
Notice how like whatever we think about, and we, like if I was asked everybody, tell me why it's hard to lose weight. Girl, where's my pen and give me an extra sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then y'all wonder why it's so hard to lose weight. And then when I say like, tell me how easy it is to lose weight. I'm going to have to think about this. Can I get back to you with my accountability group so we can brainstorm on this one? I might even need to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why it's not easy to lose weight. Literally, guys, the model. I know I have a lot of newbies right now. You get all this in module 4. Just hang with me. Candy is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
everything else after that is driven by how you think about it. If you think it's hard, if you think it's all those things, you are going to go to work on finding evidence for it, which means it's like, well, but sometimes I think this, Corinne, that's got to be a problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's another thought.
Yeah, I should have done models. Like, I've been doing models. You'd be so proud of me. I'm doing models all the time in my morning. It's, and I, you know, the sheet is laid out in such a way where in the beginning, I always thought I needed an issue to write about in order to write a model. So for all those new people out there, you don't need an issue. Just do the piece of paper. And at the end of it, you'll probably have something to write about, like 9 times out of 10. So it was really cool how I've been able to work through all of these other things. But I haven't written about candy. I should probably do that.
So what are you making it mean that you're still eating candy sometimes?
I just feel like once I start, I can't stop. So it's a bit of a control thing for me.
You're making it mean when you have candy, it must mean you can't stop. So what?
So I've cleaned up some other things. Like I don't eat at home anymore, like at nighttime. So don't I used
to have it. Stay with me.
Okay.
What are you making it mean that sometimes you eat candy off plan? What are you making it mean about you?
That this is what has kept me overweight, because this has been a constant problem my whole life.
This has been a constant problem my whole life. Yeah. That's the problem. Okay. This has been a constant problem my entire life. You're going back to your past.
Mm-hmm.
So when we eat candy in our circumstance line, what if you were like, this is the exact problem I'm ready to solve?
Yeah, that's so. I wonder. Yeah, would have to do that model and figure out what that means and what thoughts I could use about how to solve it.
Have one. We're solving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to get more complicated. This is going to be real simple. Your new model is candy equals. I'm solving this. You're always going to work on solving it. Every time you eat candy, I'm solving this. It doesn't mean this is the problem that's kept me overweight. It means, no, you know what it means? I'm solving this. Like every time I overate 100 pounds down, do you think I sat there and been like, oh, this is why I've been overweight all my life. Can't fucking shut my mouth. Or do you think I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. Like this is something to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, like, I'm going to tell you, when I was overeating, I had 1,001 solutions to every single overeat. I was always trying something new. Constantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just came out and bought some protein bars because I don't really eat them anymore. And I found some good ones and I put them in my car already. That's going to be what I'm going to. So sometimes what I do is say, okay, you can have that, whatever, but first you've got to have this, which is on your plan. Cause typically I'm hungry at this point in time. So working for me, that's been but I'm hoping that these protein bars are a little bit fuller, especially with the bottle of water, and it will stop the urge.
What stops an urge is your thinking. So just don't forget that.
Okay.
If you're actually hungry, stop hunger. But the only thing that's going to stop an urge is your thinking, because an urge is a feeling. Eating is an action.
Okay.
Urges only stop when you decide they're not worth responding to anymore. They're worth sitting through. They're worth having a new conversation. They're worth 1,001 attempts at figuring it out in new and interesting ways than the old tired way that I've been doing it, which is, this must be a problem. This is what's kept me overweight all my life. That's a womp-womp story. Stop telling it.
I didn't even realize that until the call that that's how I think about it, but that's totally how I think about it. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good luck on the candy. I don't think I'll eat it. I think that what's probably going to happen is the next time you want to go to that candy bowl, you're going to think of this conversation.
I hope so.
This will be one of 20 new techniques to use when you hit the candy bowl. Oh my God, Corinne's face is in it and she's yelling.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for your cooking during the 3-day. It was really great.
Oh, you're welcome, babe. Bye.
Bye.
For all my newbies, if you're wondering what the 3-day is, that was like, I did a 3-day transformation weekend. That was where I kind of was getting a feel for what my 6-day transformation week is going to be. That's in January, if y'all are all wondering, where you come to Nashville and we're going to work. Like, seriously, everything we just talked about with Candy, like, I'm going to be running y'all through the gauntlet of food urges, hunger scale, planning, assessing, dig it. Like, for all of you who are like, I don't want to dig in my brain. I don't know what the fuck's going on in there. It's going to like kill me or something. We're going to unearth all the shit going on in your brain so that you can figure out, you can think anything and not have a heart attack. And we're going to go through the gamut of feelings. Like, the gauntlet will be hardcore on body image and feelings. Also, we're going to have a whole day where we just like sit with all the yucky feelings. I know this sounds amazing. Like, oh, I should pay for this. But literally, I know why people are overweight. And this is 6 days of every single thing that's standing in our way. So when they say, like, I was at the 2 day, I was at the 3 day, these are experiences with me that we don't do anymore. We're putting it all into a 6 day intensive week. Okay, let's see. We got one more, I think. Lisa. And then you guys will get out of here. I know it's been a long day. It looks like Lisa's not here. Lisa, are you still here? If not, we'll just get out of here. There's somebody called V30 Plus. I don't know if that's Lisa. If you'll respond in the comments and let me know. There's a couple of questions. Before PMP, I struggled during the weekends with my eating habits. How do I change that pattern? Jennifer Lopez, I think that's your name. If you'll go over to video replays on the website, pmptribe.com, and if you will type on, I think it's all videos, or like just get to the screen where there's all the videos. Click on any button on there. There'll be a search bar at the top. Type in weekends, and I have done a lot of coaching and a lot of videos, specifically videos, very specific to weekends. I think you will find that that will answer so many questions for you. How do I enter a comment in the chat? Karen, I'm not exactly sure if you're on the phone. I'm not sure if you can use the chat, but it's over. I'm not sure where it's at on your thing. The four basic squares under the goal circles. Are you supposed to check if you made and assessed a 24-hour plan or only if you followed it? Likewise with the hunger scale. Yes, I used it, or yes, I ate. The way I do mine is made my plan, like I did it and assessed it. I don't have my planner. I don't have it sitting here so I can look at the exact questions. I'll tell you what, Janae, if you will take that over to, my brain is a little foggy after coaching a lot of people. I can't think of like exactly what's on there in the exact order, but I know that like for me, if I don't follow it, I think it's the hunger scale box. Is that the second one? If I don't check yes, unless every meal was followed with the hunger scale. What's a good positive thought to stop a bad thought spiral? Usually what I tell myself is there's no thought spirals and no bad ones. Like, I don't allow myself to believe that. I think it's really important to just believe, like, I'm just having thoughts. They're coming in fast and that's okay. Like, neutralizing it, usually what happens is if you're in the thought spiral, like, you know, all like judgy and all over yourself, you just tell yourself, it's just what I'm thinking. Like, literally, guys, I tell myself that all the time. Like, when I was crying on my run this morning, I'm like, it's okay to be scared and sad. It's just because of stuff I'm thinking. Usually I just leave it at that. I don't look for a pie in the sky. I don't try to like recreate the wheel of what just happened. I don't do a lot of that stuff. I just make it easy on myself. I give myself a little peace and comfort in knowing it's just the way I'm thinking right now. That's why I'm feeling this way. I'm just going to feel this. I'm going to live. None of us die from a feeling. We think we are, but we're not. We're sitting around killing ourselves with food over feelings. If you're going to die over feelings, it's going to eat your way through them. This is a long one. I'm throwing a temper tantrum today. I wanted to put Starbucks on my plan. Finally started losing this week. I started taking in all my water. I was hoping to lose again this morning. I weigh later in the morning on the weekends and know that Monday will be a slight increase due to the early morning weigh-in. I did not lose any weight this morning, even with a late weigh-in. I don't really understand what you're saying. Like, we need to only, like, just weigh once a week. Make sure you're weighing in on Fridays, Misty. If you're weighing every single day, you're never going to lose every single day. It's reading as if you're weighing every day and expecting the scale to go down. Like, ooh, waiting for the scale to reward me for my good behavior. We're not getting rewarded by the scale for anything. The scale is going to reflect biochemical changes, period. Sometimes you're going to have a period. Sometimes it's going to be hot outside. Sometimes you're going to fly. Like to me, today, I'm up 3 pounds from flying. What am I going to do? Sit there and be pissed at the scale? Or I'm going to drink my water today because I flew yesterday and I'm up 3 pounds. I'm always up before, after a flight. I don't sit around and act like I need food or need something to make that better. I feel guilty about adding Starbucks in my plan today because I know the scale will increase slightly come tomorrow morning. Stop weighing every day. You don't need to weigh every day. Let me just tell you right now, your brain is a mess around the scale. You need to do a Friday weigh-in because what you're doing is you are trying to do all you can with your food plans and stuff and creating scarcity and creating a lot of like bad relationships with food and yourself around a number on the scale. What I want you to do is I want you to take the scale out of the equation. You get to weigh on Friday. You just tell yourself, I'm going to weigh on Friday. And when I step on the scale, before I get on, I'm going to tell myself, this is an opportunity to love myself. Right now, you're not loving yourself. You're waiting for a number to decide if you're worth stuff. I want you planning each day because like this is what the version of me who has their best self in mind would be planning today. That's the habit we want to do. We do not want to be practicing contorting ourselves for the scale and its numbers. That's not weight loss. Otherwise, if you do that now, guess what happens when you lose weight? You do that in maintenance and your life sucks and you're always beholden to the scale and you didn't learn jack shit other than to worry about your weight all the time. I am not teaching you guys to worry about your weight. I'm teaching you guys how to own planning for yourself, how to own creating the life you want in a body you want, eating the way you want. Yesterday I had some chips, ate about 5, was like, what are you doing? I wrote about it. I decided that it was only a snack and get back to my plan. Is that the right way to do it? I wouldn't tell myself it was only a snack, but I also wouldn't tell myself that I wouldn't feel bad over it. I'd just be like, oh, that was an off-plan eat. Time to assess it. It was an off-plan eat. I wouldn't call it a snack. What you're doing is you're excusing it, which is very different. I want you to be like, and it was an off-plan eat, and I want to see every single one of them. The best way I'll lose weight is to know when I'm eating, and it's not going to serve me in the long run. When I'm eating for any other reason, then I love myself. I love my goal, and I'm willing to do what it takes to get there. I'm a newbie. Should I be focusing on writing plans I can follow or leveling up or both? I would just be writing the plans and following them for now. We're going to talk about leveling up week 2. So you guys are just now getting into those videos. You can start leveling up a little bit, but our leveling up is very tiny, guys. It's not major things. Is April Camp close to being sold out? We're 70% sold out now, guys. I'm going to tell you, April Camp, when October happens, a lot of people are coming to October for the first time. It will probably sell out after October. There's 350 people coming in October. Over half have never been to a camp. They are so good. And I'm just going to tell you, we're doing so many new things this time. It will sell out. So if you're going to get in, I would get in now rather than waiting and seeing what's going to happen. Is there a place for 1% level up ideas? I would ask in the Facebook group if you're in the Facebook group. If you are not, then you can just, what I would do if you're not in the Facebook group is come up with your own ideas and post it and ask coaches and be like, what do you think about these? Do these look like 1%? And just ask yourself, when you do a 1%, the easiest way to do it is to come up, rather than wanting people to tell you what to do, guys, before you ever ask a question, I would be like, what would 1% look like for me? It would be these things. Does that feel really doable? Yes or no? And then post it in the Facebook group. And these are my ideas. Or post it and ask coaches and say, and these are my ideas. What you do is you teach your brain how to start solving your own problems rather than needing other people to validate before you take action. It just speeds up getting into action. And the more you just start trying things and the more you get into action, the quicker you see what works and the quicker you see what doesn't. You just get results faster that way. Will you refresh my memory on quick result responses to people who judge weight loss beyond you? So I do me. Go to the toolkit. Go to pnptribe.com toolkit. Go to the bonus resources. I think it's called Quick Action Resource. I forget the name of it, but go. You'll see it. It's very clear what it is. Go over there, and then there is something. There's a whole document on responses to people who, like, you know, are going to get up in your business about your weight loss. How close is the 6 days sold out? It's not close right now, but guys, I am fixing to, this is probably just as good as any. I'm getting ready to do a call for anyone who might want to come to the 6 day. Like, but you need to be serious about coming to the 6 day. Don't just come to the call to hear Corinne speak. Get into your no BS and do your modules. Like, guys, there's plenty of content to hear me speak. You do not need to hear me speak about the 6 day if you're not serious about coming to the 6 day. I'm just giving you a time management tip. Just a little time management snack for you. But I'm going to be doing a call soon for, we just have, are getting tons and tons of questions about it. And I thought it might be easier if I just do, like, let's just all get on a call. You guys can ask me. I know a lot of people are scared about coming. It's an intense week. And a lot of people are worried about the, you know, like, are you going to be up in my grill? It's like, yeah, that's why you would come. Like, seriously. Who the fuck am I? Like, you would only come if you want me up in your grill, if you want me up in your business and stuff. It's just, I mean, seriously, 6 days of working on your weight loss in a way you've never done it before. And I will tell you why it's so important. I go to intensive trainings with my mentor, and I will tell you why I built this one. I changed so much as a person when I got certified as a coach because I went there for 8 days. And I lived and breathed and thought this stuff. And it just moved the needle in a way, in a faster way than I ever even knew would happen because I was out of life. And I think it's really important sometimes for some of you to do that. Like, if you notice yourself stalled out and you notice yourself not being able to get going, sometimes you just need that. It's not for everybody. A lot of you rock the website. And I design the courses, I design everything to where you guys have everything you need. But sometimes you just, like, you can't separate what you need to do versus your life. And if you're having that problem and you want to spend a 6 day intensive, we wanted to have that option for you. But I totally know it's not for everyone. That's why we just designed the website the way we do. So, but you know, guys, if you can't come to 6 days, but you're like, life, the website. Life, my diet, my getting that on run. That's why we have Facebook and that's why we have Ask Coaches to help you piece it all together. But like, if you really want to sit in a room with me, like our girl with Candy, I'm just going to tell you some of the surprises are there will be food challenges. There will be all kinds of things. The people coming to the 6 day are going to have pre-work to do. They're already in a Facebook group now and starting November 1, the pre-work starts. I'm going to know you guys before you get here. I'm going to be asking and preparing for it. And then when you're here, we're going to work. This is not a kumbaya. We're not here to, like, dance and party. We're just going to work. And you're going to leave feeling better mentally and emotionally and physically because you're going to eat healthier than ever. Ever. I'm feeding you. Just know that. Not feeding you dinner, because I have a reason to not feed you dinner. You're going to have to come in the next morning and tell me what it was like. And we're going to have you do specific challenges at night. Like, it won't just stop in the room. And then the last thing is, like, just the emotional work. We're just going to do so much emotional work. You're going to be challenged to do things. That's just how it's going to be. I don't want this week to be a cakewalk. I don't want anybody coming thinking this is just going to be a week where we're just going to, like, sit around and do models. It's not what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a lot of things. All right. That's enough about that. I never come to Canada, Kim. I don't even leave Nashville. I'm having an issue with 2 to 2. I feel like eat till I feel like I am added to, but then after I drink water and feel stuffed. I feel like maybe I ate too much before consuming the water. Judge your, Raina, judge your 2 to 2 on how you feel before you just start drinking the water, just leave it at that. That'll be fine. If you start drinking water after that, you don't have to count like, oh, now I feel extra full. Don't worry about that. You should be fine. Your weight loss will tell you the difference. And then someone is, guys, if you like, yes, anybody who's inside the tribe can attend the 6-day or any camps or any of the things that we're offering. So if you will go to www.pnptribe.com, go to live events, all the live events that we're doing next year are right there for you. My 6-day is there. And you can go and look at that. But everything that we're doing is all right there for you to sign up. The two that will sell out the fastest are going to be April Camp and Don't Stop Believing. But Don't Stop Believing is the race. So just so you guys know. Mine, I would love it if you're going to commit to it, that you do it before November 1st so you don't miss out on the pre-work. Because here's what's going to happen. We're going to start doing pre-work for it. If you sign up after November 1st, I'm not sending you the stuff that we're already doing. You'll just come into the cycle of where we're at starting November 1st. I'm not going to have you backtrack. I'm not going to have you go fill out a bunch of shit. I'm not going to like do all that. So it will behoove you to sign up before November 1st. The other thing that the 6-day has that's different than all the other events is that Facebook group will stay intact for 6 months so that you guys can do work together, because you're going to leave there with goals and all kinds of things. And then the 4 months after the 6-day, there will be a monthly coaching call with me for the entire group for us to check in. Like Amy today with the 90-day, you know how she came in and checked in? You guys will have like things that you're going to set as goals, and then you're going to come to the group call and ask questions, have your data. We're going to go through all, like, anybody who wants to get coached can get coached. It'll, you know, it's going to kind of continue on past the 6-day for 4 months. So that group will also be intact. So you'll have like that group to work with for the six months. Most of our Facebook groups that we do is we archive them for camps and events. Usually I think we archive them either 30 or 60 days after an event, something like that. But this group will stay open a little bit longer. Okay. All right, guys. That's everything. You have a wonderful day, and I will see everyone tomorrow night for module 2 of No BS, 6 p.m. Central Time on Monday, and we are going to do all things fueling your body. Bye, girls.